Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
A quick note for you Texan fans that like to go out to training camp, as I know a lot of you do. You know, I know a lot of Texan fans like to go out to training camp, Rich, is because I know there were a lot of Texan fans that couldn't travel the last couple of years that were disappointed that they didn't get to see the first few weeks of training camp because it was in West Virginia. That was a great experience up at the Greenbrier. I'm a Texan fan who was kind of planning on going up there, maybe if they were going to do year three up there. I might be a little disappointed because of the access that you got up there. It was really, really cool. But the more traditional approach now, they're back here for most of training camp, other than a couple of practices the week of August 5th, when they're up in Green Bay practicing with the Packers a couple of times in advance of their first preseason game that Thursday night, August 8th, at Lambeau Field. But the Texans have put out their training camp schedule.
Hopefully mostly in the bubble.
They're all, yeah, all it says is Houston Methodist Training Center. That can mean anything. I guarantee some of these are going to be outdoors.
Well, the ones that are open to the public will certainly be
outside. Yeah, no doubt about that. The practice times all generally run from about 9 o'clock till almost noon in the mornings. And the first one will be on the first one that the team will hold. Not sure which is the first one that's going to be open to the they have the
August 1st.
The dates for the public here. Yeah,
yes.
The Texans are back at it on Thursday, July 25th. That's when all the players are back, and the process of trying to do something in 2019 significant begins on Thursday, July 21st. But, yes, the ones open to the public will be Thursday, August 4th, Saturday, August 3rd. Thursday, August 1st, Saturday, August 3rd, Saturday, August 10th, Sunday, August 11th, Wednesday, the 14th, and Thursday, the 15th are open to the public. So six open to the public.
After we got this press release, I emailed Texans PR with a quick question because I know – when Texans fans hear about these six training camp practices that will be open to the public, many of them are mobilizing as we speak to make sure they get tickets, because we know from the past you do need a ticket to get into those practices that are open to the public. The tickets are free. There's a limited amount, of course. What I've been told is the Texans have not yet determined the date that they will open that up on HoustonTexans.com.
Okay.
So keep an eye on HoustonTexans.com. Keep listening to Sports Radio 610 and Texans Radio as well in the evenings, because sometime in the near future, we'll have an exact date for when the curtain will go up on online opportunities to grab tickets to those six practices. They go quickly the day those tickets become available on the website. So as soon as we know, we'll pass it along to you guys.
So will the Texans have a new general manager when they open camp on July 25th, Rich?
No question about it.
I would think so, too.
No question about it. And his name will be Nick Caserio.
Okay, yeah. I
also feel there's no question about that.
Yeah, that's a strong favorite right now, to be sure. Wade Smith is on with the guys on Mad Radio every Friday in the 9 o'clock hour. And we've been speculating a lot over the last few days about the assessment of Bill O'Brien in all of this, with Brian Gain getting fired last Friday.
Yes.
Bill O'Brien saying on Tuesday this week that he was part of that overall organizational assessment, part of it in that he was assessed as well. He wasn't walking around the building saying, fire this guy, fire that guy, fire Brian Gain, as I think some people after last Friday's news thought that he might be. Wade Smith, I thought, had a take on O'Brien, and just people, I think, thinking that O'Brien has this thirst for power in the building over there. I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I haven't thought that that's the case. I do think when you fire a general manager, all of a sudden there's a power vacuum where there's this assumption that the head coach, for the time being, is filling some sort of more powerful role. But Wade Smith talked about Bill O'Brien in a little bit of detail from that perspective earlier today. Here's what Wade had to say.
I don't believe that this whole notion that, like, Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain's relationship, it was hard to work together and all that type of stuff. I think Bill O'Brien is still cool with Brian Gain, and that's his guy. The problem is that he trusted Brian Gain to give him some players in certain spots, and he didn't get them. And so that caused the issue.
Yeah.
And period. I don't think it's anything where, like, when we're in meetings together and you're talking to me disrespectfully or anything, there's nothing like that. I don't think Bill O'Brien wants to have all this power that people are talking about. I think by default, because these GMs are not working out, he has this power. But I think Bill O'Brien just wants to coach, man. I think if it was up to Bill O'Brien, when do you see Bill O'Brien happy? Right. It's when he's around the players and he's coaching. You know what I mean? When he has to deal, like, that whole press conference he had to deal with, you know, he probably loathes that. He can't stand that side of it. He just wants a GM in place that he can trust to do what they're supposed to do and get them guys so he can coach and they can win ball games.
I think, Rich, the fact that Nick Caserio is, to your point, the odds-on favorite for this job,
yeah,
is an indicator that that's exactly what Bill O'Brien is looking for, because I don't think that Nick Caserio leaves the job he has with the Patriots to go work for some coach that's trying to to power-monger everybody in the building, as some people like to portray O'Brien for some reason.
He said it the other day at his availability when he was bombarded with the questions on Tuesday, I think it was, about the firing of Brian Gain. And the word power was brought up by one of the people asking questions. And Bill O'Brien said, I'm not interested in power. All I want to do is coach. And I believed him when he said that.
Yeah, I do too. And I think I loved Wade's characterization about when do you see O'Brien at his happiest, because he is a guy who I think likes that. He likes the hands in the clay part of the job.
The limited time we get to watch that
teaching
at practice, it's evident.
Yeah, very, very, very evident. So I think at the end of the day, O'Brien just wants to have a guy he can trust to make the moves that put him in the best position to then go win a Super Bowl for this organization.
I think what Wade said is true, and boy, does it really amplify, apparently, how disappointed they were in the job that Brian Gain did.
Yeah. Yeah. And along those lines, Rich, so it was interesting. I think Aaron Reese of The Athletic put up a post basically asking, what are the big questions following the firing of Brian Gain? Mm-hmm. And the very first one, I think, is an interesting one, because when you're a general manager and you sign guys and you pick your guys and you have control over the roster, I think the human instinct is to give the guys that you are handpicking and you are selecting the benefit of the doubt, because it subconsciously justifies the decision you made to give Matt Khalil $7.5 million or give or draft this guy or whatever the case may be.
It's human nature.
So I've got a list here of Gaines signings that are here on short-term deals. And actually, I even put Deshaun Gibson on here as well. He's on a 3-year deal. I don't think he's in any jeopardy of not being here when the season starts. But I've got the list here. I wanted to go through it with you. Yeah. Which of Gaines signings are in jeopardy because the guy who is championing their cause is now gone? How much jeopardy do you think Matt Khalil is in of making this roster?
I think he was on the bubble to begin with, even if Brian Gain was still the guy here.
I do too.
He's got a lot to prove.
And I think it's been amped up.
Yeah.
I think that's the one signing, Rich. First of all, there's a couple things. One, he's almost the poster child for the inactivity or maybe the disappointment inactivity this offseason.
Yeah, yeah, the failure to do as much as they needed to do.
So there's that. I also think there's part of that $7.5 million. I didn't have a big problem with them signing Khalil, even for $7.5 million. But then you see some of the other things that they passed up that could have been beneficial, like that Matt Khalil got $7.5 million and that Gerald McCoy got, I think, $10 million with incentives in Tampa Bay. And I know they play different positions, but if you're asking me, who do I want to take a chance on in terms of impact for this team? Because this team has a need for an inside pass rush.
There's no doubt.
Gerald McCoy at $10 million or Matt Khalil at $7.5 million. Okay, well, is this a trick question?
Yeah, no, it's really not even close.
Chantrell Henderson.
By the way, I was checking on something before we move on. You may have mentioned this. If you did, I apologize. But only $2.25 million is guaranteed to Khalil.
Right. Right, and so it's easy to eject from.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah,
a lot
of these guys are easy to eject from. Chantrell Henderson.
If he's healthy, he sticks. There's no question about that.
He's as Gain gets, though. He was in Buffalo.
Doesn't condemn
him, very much.
I know, and may not cause the new guy to look on him as favorably as Gain did, but I still think he's someone, if healthy, they need on this team.
I think Henderson's probably a better player at this point than Matt Khalil is. I do feel like, though, when you look at the pedigree of some of the tackles they have on the roster, like Sharping and Howard are obviously making the team.
Yeah.
I think Julian Davenport still in year three, they feel like they're still as bad as he was last year. Some upside with Julian Davenport. Chantrell Henderson's a better player than Matt Khalil, but if Chantrell Henderson disappoints in training camp, I could easily see the battle for that fifth tackle position or fourth tackle position being between these two guys.
I'm presuming, though, that if he's healthy, he's not going to look horrible. That he's going to look good enough to make this team. They may need him to start. They may need him at the very least to provide quality depth at tackle.
No, the chalk is that he'll be the starter at right tackle when the season opens, I think. I don't know how good I feel about that, and I think that's also another indicator as to what did you do this offseason that Chantrell Henderson's your starter at right tackle? Darren Fells.
See, I'm pretty bullish on Fells. I almost feel like he's a lock to make this team.
Yeah, I almost feel like...
Because the new guy's going to know coming in how good he is at what he does. And I know he was let go by, what was it, the Cleveland Browns?
Yes.
I think largely to clear up cap space, if I'm not mistaken. I may be wrong about that.
I have no idea why the Browns let him go.
But I think he, for what he does, plays at a fairly high level. If you're talking about a tight end that strictly helps your run game, helps your pass protection, he's very good. And that's exactly the kind of tight end they need on this team right now.
Yeah.
They don't have proven blockers among their other tight ends.
Some would say they haven't had him for a long, long time.
Right, right. Yeah. So I almost feel like he's a lock. And the more I see Jordan Akins working out exclusively with the wide receivers, the more I'm becoming convinced that they'll keep all four tight ends and they'll bill it as the last guy on our wide receiver depth chart is Jordan Akins.
I don't know if Fells is a lock. I'll never say anybody who's here on a one-year, $1.5 million contract is a lock, but I don't feel like Gain getting fired affects the percentage chance of Darren Fells making the team. Let me put it that
way.
With that. Yeah, Brian Body Calhoun. I think he was Brian Bubble Calhoun to begin with.
Yeah. It feels like Jahlil Adai's addition to this team might make him more expendable than he was before that.
Probably, one would think.
50-50 at best.
Yeah.
So I guess I would say he's one of those guys where the change at the top could impact him being here.
Bradley Roby.
How much did they guarantee him?
$9.5 million of the $10 million.
Well, then he's not going anywhere.
No, he's going to make the team.
Yeah.
O'Brien's... I don't want to say disdain because that feels so permanent because Bradley Roby could work his way back into the mix. But O'Brien clearly doesn't have any hot takes on Bradley Roby right now because he hasn't been out on the field very much.
Yeah.
I could see where that could be a doghouse guy if he stays injured or he doesn't play very well.
He did get on the field for the two minicamp practices, but he was not on the field for OTAs.
Tashawn Gibson.
Another guy who I think, unless somebody emerges that we're not talking about, that they need on this team.
I think he's their starting safety alongside Justin Reed for the next 3 years.
I don't think he's going anywhere. I've expressed my feelings about how much of a downgrade I thought it was from Tyrann Mathieu to Gibson, but he's going to be on this team.
We need to make some sort of bet about this, Rich. We need to have a bet with Tyrann Mathieu and Tashawn Gibson in some vital statistics throughout the season.
Well, it's not just statistics. It's not just a statistical viewpoint. I think Mathieu does a lot for your football team.
Yeah. Oh, they're already talking about his leadership in Kansas City.
Well, and you say
there's
that.
There's a tweet the other day that he's establishing himself as the big leader on the defense.
And there's a heavy layer of sarcasm in the way you're saying that, but I don't think it's – I think it's real.
I think it is, too. I just don't think it's worth $14 million. I don't want to be painted as somebody who thinks that Tyrann Mathieu's leadership is non-existent or that he's all, you know, that he's a bunch of bluster. He's all bark and no bite. I think Tyrann Mathieu, I think the leadership is real because Bill O'Brien said it. That's an opinion I trust. He's the head coach of the team who Tyrann Mathieu just played for. I just feel like I feel like Kansas City is overspending for it. That's my feeling on it. Maybe they need it more than the Texans do. Maybe Kansas City, some guys can be worth a certain amount to some teams and not worth a certain amount
That's
to other
true.
Teams. With Eric Berry now gone at safety, maybe they felt like they needed that certain somebody in the secondary on the back end. I think if you're the Texans, I think you look at the secondary and you see a budding Justin Reed back there. And if you can get Gibson to provide the leadership part, which reportedly he is a very good leader, then you go, okay, well, why not for $7 million instead of $14
million? A budding player on a third-round rookie deal.
Right.
Who they're not going to have to pay big bucks, presumably, for at least a couple of more years.
Now, again,
which would make spending big bucks at the other safety spot more palatable.
Yeah, now, again, I will say this, that if I'd known they were going to have $42 million in cap space sitting here on June 15th, then I would have been fine with them giving $14 million to Tyrann Mathieu because you can get out from underneath it after 2 years.
But we knew they had $71 million to start the offseason.
Yeah, no, I know. Rich,
They've always had the money.
I get it. But when Mathieu and Brown both went off the market, it was like the first 12 hours of free agency. So I was assuming there was going to be some spending going on when I made these assessments that, okay, that's fine. Let him go for $14
million. Yeah.
Let Trent Brown go for $15 million. But now go do something else. I think that's why Brian Gain, it's a big reason why he's fired. So that's my point, is that if I had known that he wasn't going to spend it on anything, I know he spent some of it because you have to fill out a roster. You're going to spend some of it by accident. But if I'd known that we were going to be sitting here with a team that was 11-5 and is hoarding cap money like it actually accrues interest like a mutual fund or something, then I would have said, well, yeah, go get Trent Brown and bring back Tyrann Mathieu.
Right.
Because neither the long-term aspect of these contracts in the NFL is highly overrated. The cap is a very manipulatable thing, especially the point we've made many, many times when your quarterback is worth $3.7 million against the cap and $4.4 million next year or whatever the number is. So my take on Mathieu and Brown that I would be okay with it now is solely based on the fact that the cap space is doing nothing for you right now. The cap, it's doing. I think they'll be okay at safety, but it's more the tackle position where it infuriates me.
Well, especially when we roll out that Cal McNair audio from February, where he's very emphatic that they're going to do everything possible, trades, free agency, undrafted, drafted. That we're going to look under every stone to make this team better than it was, and then throwing in. He didn't say it in these words, but basically saying we got a lot more money to spend than we did last offseason.
Spend it.
He called it resources, but he was right, obviously. And then they didn't spend it.
Yeah, I think I was saying last week, like right around this time. I know late last week before Gain got fired. I know I said it a couple times last week that $40 million in cap space just sitting there is going to infuriate me during the season. Yeah. Every time I think about it, and I didn't know they were going to fire the guy who didn't spend it like an hour later.
Right, and I know at the time we've talked at different points in this offseason about how they have some other bills coming due on this team in the near future, and perhaps they're setting aside money to take care of that. But you know what? That doesn't hold water with me. I'm sorry. This is an urgent situation. You've got a franchise quarterback on his rookie deal. This is not the time for long-term thinking.
Well, if you're tagging Clowney, then you don't have any bills coming due in the next 12 months that can't handle them signing a left tackle.
Right. DJ Reader and Nick Martin come to mind.
Those are not
going to break the bank.
They're not going to break the bank.
No,
I don't think so. All right. John McClain's going to jump in with us at 4:20. We will circle back to the NBA Finals. Has the outlook on 2019-2020 changed for the Houston Rockets in the last 24 hours? We'll explain and discuss next. Live from Little Woodrow's in Rice Village, the Triple Threat, Sports Radio 610.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.